We're back. Hour three.
Ready to rock.
Tightening it up. Very excited. Brandel Chamblee, middle of the hour. And at the end of the hour, we have a golf
crazy
day.
Golf
crazy
day.
Golf story. You definitely want to stick around for re-racking today right now. Just great show with Rob Nyer talking baseball, talking
trade deadline
stuff. He was the commissioner of the West Coast League.
Yeah.
Peter Schrager, we talked football. We talked that horrific game last night. That can that be called? What did we learn from it? Absolutely nothing. And then we just got into this whole LeBron situation with Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way, Jay, to provide you a seamless mortgage experience.
I got an email. Dear Bro Bros, we agree having fans pay full price to watch scrubs play mediocre football isn't fair. Regards the New York Giants.
Yep.
Francis and Glendale wore Irie Craig using drinking fountains as a bidet.
Hang on a second.
What?
At Jamie in Green Bay, what sport do you slot Bismarckian? That's a great question. I would say
linebacker.
Highlight? Right?
You
get... All right. Sklars, I might have CTA. I accidentally walked into a John's thinking it was a Vons. Okay. For people who aren't in Southern California, there is a supermarket chain here called Vons. V-O-N-S. Very good.
Solid.
Like solid, good produce. Then there is a supermarket called John's.
J-O-N-S.
Different, like... It's way lower rent. Way
same, lower. Both red lettering, same font, same color.
Well, the
color.
Thing is, there's no commercials for John's anywhere in Southern California.
And you realize that the only way they're getting people to come in is to trick people into thinking they're a Vons.
There's a triangle in between the hook of the J to make you think it's a V. They want people driving along going, honey, we need some produce. Let's
there's a Vons right there.
I'll just turn into this Vons. No way this sign is going to try and trick me.
Then you walk in and you're like, how did I get inside the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul?
Yeah. Just, is that, oh my, I just, is that a bat that
Jesus.
I just saw? Oh my God.
I saw wings and teeth.
Just come. When did Mr. T develop a line of salad dressings?
His 700 Island is amazing.
It's like 100% pimento.
Should meat be on the floor? Like laying on the floor?
I pity the fool who doesn't use this on their Caesar salad.
Shouldn't employees at a supermarket be wearing shoes?
Yes! John's. So I'm sorry you walked into a John's.
All right, we spoke about the trade deadline at the top of the show in baseball, and it's fun to see people.
I love the trades, like we mentioned before, that don't matter.
Don't move the needle at all, like the Stroman trade. Let's talk about Marcus Stroman.
So Stroman goes from Toronto, a team that has no chance of winning this year, to the Mets.
A team that has no chance of winning this year.
There's a slight chance, but there's really no chance.
They're about six games out, I think, five out, maybe.
Toronto.
They got the pitching.
By the way, Toronto is Canada's New York. We shot a movie up in Toronto because the movie was supposed to take place in New York. That's what happens. Toronto's cheaper to shoot. You can't shoot in New York City. It's easier to shoot in Toronto. So if you ever want to make a movie about New York, you shoot it in Toronto. So that's it. Stroman himself grew up on Long Island.
Strom Island.
So he's going from a place that feels like home to his hometown.
He went from fourth place in the AL East to fourth place in the NL East. All right, so there's six games out. Mets may have a shot, maybe.
Look, the Mets might include you as a dead person in their in memoriam.
They are want to do that.
There's always that. His playoff chances are pretty much dead.
Was Stroman happy about this trade?
He was pissed. Stroman
wanted to go to the Yankees.
He wanted to go to the Yankees.
You don't get to choose, Marcus. You don't get to choose.
Major League Baseball, unlike the NBA, you don't get to choose.
You're going to tell people where you're going to go. That's not how it works in the MLB.
The billionaires control the narrative in baseball. That is the story.
This is like a trade that like we shouldn't have even publicized. Like we should just find out when he shows up and he's just pitching.
Right? Like you want a fan to be in the crowd saying, "Oh my God, we have Marcus Stroman?
Who is that?
I can't who
does it matter? Maybe Toronto, New York.
When did we get Marcus Stroman? That's what you want fans to say. That would be more interesting than even publicizing this.
By the way, really looking forward to that Billy Hamilton for Hunter Renfro deal.
Yeah, when that goes down, watch out.
Fourth place KC, fourth place San Diego.
I want to make sure they stay exactly where they are in the standings right there.
It's like eating something when you're not hungry.
Just because it's something, it's there. The pie was sitting on the counter.
The window, pies on windowsills cooling.
There was a whole period of time in this country
where people put pies out on windowsills.
where like windowsills were built in such a way so you could put rest up high on it so it could
cool. My windowsill doesn't go outside.
Pie on a windowsill.
So that's what that is.
My question is, what was the pitch from the Mets to Stroman? I'm fascinated by this.
Here's the deal. You're going to come to a fourth place team. You're going to come to a city where the media will be relentless.
They're going to crap over every move that you do. Are you cool with that?
A team that's probably not going to win soon.
Your crosstown team is killing it, by the way. They're great.
The team you wanted to go to.
So you'll forever be compared to that team, which is better than you.
Oh, and by the way, the money you're getting paid won't go nearly as far in New York.
Yeah.
How about it?
I mean, who doesn't want a chance to step into that situation right there? Conversely, hey, you want to come up to Canada and play in what's now our country's third favorite sport behind baseball and hockey?
Basketball, you mean?
Basketball and hockey?
Yeah. In that order now?
Toronto is a basketball city. Yeah, it's Raptors, Maple Leafs, and I think we still have the Blue Jays. That's what it is at this point in Toronto.
Or did they go the way of the Expo? I don't know.
I can't remember, eh?
Hey,
I'm going to be up in the cottage. I'm not even going to get the game on the TV.
You know, there aren't a lot of people who are like, hey, you know, when I go up to Saskatoon, I got to make sure I get the Wi-Fi because I got that MLB package, eh?
You got that package? You can watch games on...
You
can stream those games, eh?
I stream them all the time when I'm moose hunting.
I'm fishing out in the stream, and I stream it while I'm fishing in the stream. I got waders on. I can watch it.
What are you yelling about?
I'm not yelling. This is me whispering, eh?
God, you're so loud, eh?
Well, Canada's big. It's got a lot of open spaces. So this, to me, is like a Canadian whisper.
It's like Rob Ford, eh?
It's big. It's white. A lot of open spaces.
Canada.
Cold.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah,
South Cal. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Where'd you go, bro?
Come on up and play in Toronto, a city that's got snow on the ground in June.
Who is the guy, our friend of ours said, there's always like in cold cities like Toronto, there's always snow on the ground. Washington's head.
We're in fourth place. Come on up to Canada.
You can eat at Wayne Gretzky's restaurant every week.
Every year we're in the toughest division. You got three teams in front of us, eh?
Come on up, eh?
We're barely better than the Baltimore Orioles, eh? Oh, and you get to play on AstroTurf, which will totally ruin your knees, eh?
Come on up, eh? It'll be nice.
Destroy every little bit of cartilage that you had up there, eh?
Geddy Lee's going to give a speech before every game, eh?
You know his name is Gordon Levinson.
He's Jewish.
Yeah. It's like you're not going to be hanging out with Drake if you come up to Toronto.
That is God's plan.
You're going to be kicking it with Toronto-born singer and rapper Jazz Cartier.
The Cardi B of hip-hop.
You're cool with that, right? That's a great pitch, by the way.
That's a good pitch.
Saying you play baseball in Toronto these days is like saying you play hockey in Phoenix.
Or basketball in Phoenix, for that matter.
Well, exactly. You hear that, DeAndre Ayton? So this is my pitch to these guys.
What's the fix here, Randy?
Trade guys on last place teams without publicizing at all. It actually will get a ton more publicity if it's a surprise, like an Easter egg in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly you see someone out there. The moment like a bunch of Mariners fans show up and say, hey, when did we get Gordon Beckham? This is great.
I didn't know he was on our team.
Remember we met Gordon Beckham?
Yeah, we met him.
And Robin Ventura?
At Second City.
It's a great moment.
We were up in Second City doing shows.
And Gordon Beckham and Robin Ventura. Ventura could not have been a cooler dude, by the way.
He gets me in a headlock and starts pummeling me.
We're like, it's okay, man. You got payback.
Payback for Nolan Ryan.
Payback for what Nolan Ryan did to you.
Guy was really funny. Cool dude.
He was really cool.
Call us, by the way. We'll take calls.
Yeah, we'll take calls. We'll open it up. 800-636-8686.
Call us, eh?
Email at roman@havetake.com.
Yeah. We do want your take.
Let's take Matt in L.A. He's on the line. I love when Matt in L.A. calls. Matt, what's up, my brother?
From Scarborough country to Scotland Yard. St. Louis to Sao Paulo.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Hey. I was listening to the other day. I love when you guys come on, first off.
Thanks, brother.
Who else knows about the Chili Con Carne or Pete and Repeat Tops cards. Who can tell about the tales of Bip Roberts or Duffy Dyer or Freddie Patek or Hindu, for that matter?
Huh? Tiny dudes.
And you guys were talking about swallowing giants the other day. Had Harden and Clothing. You guys heard about this whole Carmelo Anthony thing going on?
No. What? Oh, what's the deal with Carmelo that everyone wants
He's crying.
He still wants to play.
Yesterday, it comes out that he wants a farewell tour. Now he doesn't want a farewell tour. Carmelo, go away, dude. Like, you had your run. You got the most gold medals of anybody in sport, but come on, Scars. You guys know as well as I know. The guy's game has left him. I mean, and he can't accept his role anywhere. For God's sake, Lakers, do stay.
Or what,
fellas?
All right, thank
you. There
you
go. Matt in L.A. bringing it. So the point of Matt, what Matt's saying is no, we do not want Carmelo Anthony as a part of this quote-unquote super team in L.A. And I think he has a good point. He's a black hole when it comes to, like, the shooting. The ball stops with him. The ball sticks
in his hand. It just sticks in his hand. And really, has he played significant minutes in the last year or so? No. So, yeah, he does want a farewell tour, but I feel like that's it, man.
I think you get a farewell tour when you stay with a team.
Yep.
For your whole run. That's when you get a farewell tour. When a team owes it back to you. You have not done that, Carmelo. You have not won with teams before. They don't owe you anything.
Two words. Dirk Nowitzki.
Farewell tour.
Farewell tour.
Manu Ginobili. When the Spurs are playing great, you're like, Manu's the best. When the Spurs are playing poorly, you're like, wow, his bald spot is huge.
Got bigger. As guys who are losing their hair, you think about that.
Totally. But what we're saying is you got to earn it through a career with one squad. That's when a team gives you a farewell tour. Not when you're bouncing around and you're not winning things for people.
What if on his farewell tour, every team before the game would make a huge ceremony and give him a box of Honey Nut Cheerios?
Now, I would watch that.
Would his wife get mad?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Isn't that her nickname?
But I would watch that. Someone dishes off some Honey Nut Cheerios.
That's the dish.
There you go. That's how we do it.
All right, let's take a break.
We'll take a break.
Bounce out of this first one. Next up, we're going to talk to Brandel
Chamblee,
the finest of Chamblees.
We'll talk about the FedEx
Cup final playoffs, which is the last two.
He'll lay it out for us. You know, it's been around for 11 years.
There's $10 million.
$10 million prize.
At stake.
But I want to hear from him and from a golf insider how the players react to the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Obviously, it doesn't mean what, you know, say a U.S. Open or an Open Championship
or
the PGA Championship. But I want him to put in context what this means.
Yep. We'll talk to Brandel Chamblee on the other side. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. All the time, Jim.
Psychedelic flow, I'm the dope and the antidote. Laid down the street from the package store. What you know? Going back and forth, in and out, moving lateral. Tools like mechanics, taking women for collateral. Put her on the saddle with a paddle and an Adderall. Just trying to straighten it out like Lattimore. Old Tommy, you are unemployed. I buy my girl a building with the furniture. You still getting the hell done?
I can't think of a better song to to come into a segment where Brandel Chamblee will be a part of it, but then
huge 2 Chainz.
Money in the ways. I'm sure he's a huge 2 Chainz fan. Guys, huge tweet of the day, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We had some good tweets.
I like Vinny Hardy's tweet.
Yeah, get Vinny Hardy's tweet. Vinny Hardy's tweet, who said at least Ed Reed wasn't in Chattanooga.
Great call.
Did you say Eddie Hardy? Vinny Hardy.
I said Vinny Hardy.
Big tweet of the day. I'm saying this because we want to talk about the FedEx Cup, and we got two. We're gonna take you home with golf takes. We're on the back nine. We're at the home stretch. We already made the turn here on this show. There you go. The Golf Channel, by the way, is airing live coverage of the Wyndham Championship, the final regular season event of the 2018-2019 wraparound season. Today through Sunday, the final opportunity to qualify for the FedEx Cup.
On the line now.
On the line. Live coverage is on today, Friday, from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. The weekend coverage starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time, leading to CBS Sports' coverage.
I need you to have a longer plug before we
Golf analyst Brandel Chamblee in studio in Orlando this week for the Golf Central. I love watching you, and I love that you are unabashed with your takes. Welcome to the show, Brandel Chamblee.
Well, thank you, Randy, Jason. Nice talking to you guys. Yeah, you'd think the major season is over. We wouldn't have much to talk about, but they're going to give away $15 million to somebody here in a few weeks if they win. $15
million. $15 million.
Somebody's going to make upwards of $30 million this year in one season playing golf, which is insane.
It's insane.
Now, that's what they pay us to guest host Jim Rome's radio show.
Just so. One time.
You guys are worth every penny.
Thank you.
Thanks,
brother.
Man. Well, it has been an amazing year in golf. I mean,
one, I think, expected to see Tiger come back and win a major this quickly and then all of a sudden
fall apart as quickly as he fell apart afterwards. What's keeping him going? Is it the winning his 82nd, and tying Sam Snead's all-time mark? What is keeping him going? He seems pretty brittle at this point.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, after he won the Masters, all bets were off. I thought for sure he would break Snead's record this year. But, mm-hmm. Even he said he wasn't ready to practice, wasn't ready to get ready at the PGA Championship. So, yep. And rightly so. He's in the sunset of his career. He's overcome probably more than any other golfer's ever overcome to win a major. And then, I think he's celebrating it. For the first time ever, I think he's honestly celebrating this victory. He spent a lot of this year celebrating it. So we'll see if the FedEx Cup motivates him. You're right. He's got one more win to tie Sam Snead. I think that'd be a rightful place for him to sort of, end his career at some point as the leading winner of all time PGA Tour events. That seems there's virtually no way he's going to beat Jack's record, but Sam Snead's record is doable for sure.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the comeback. It's a comeback and winning the Masters and Jack's winning of the Masters in 46. A lot of parallels.
Yeah, I mean, from an age standpoint, Jack at 46 and his game had fallen off. It was unlikely and. There was a lot of sentimental nostalgia there for sure. But Jack was by far and away at that point the best player of all time. With Tiger, there's maybe been comebacks-wise in other sports, wins that have elicited more sympathy. But, and I'm certainly no expert on other sports, but I know a thing or two about golf, and there's never been anything or any athlete in the game of golf that's overcome more to victory. This was the most unlikely of all major championships. There's, first of all, the distraction of the scandal.
Sure.
Then there was the body issues, yep. Father time issues, and then mm-hmm. the catastrophic short game issues. Mm-hmm. He put all that on the table, and this is a mountain too big to climb, but somehow he did. And, I certainly think it's the most unlikely and most impactful comeback in the history of golf. People would say Ben Hogan in 1950 coming back from an almost fatal car accident.
But, yeah.
When he didn't die and the wounds healed, he was playing the best golf of his life when mm-hmm. he was in that accident, and he picked up right where he left off. Tiger, on the other hand, had to, get his body fixed, get his mind fixed, get his short game fixed, get some golf swing back in shape, and then fighting against Father Time.
It's a lot.
It was something else.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the field has caught up with him too. Like all of your training, all the stuff you did, now everyone's doing.
Well, that's true. I mean, in terms of distance, he had a huge advantage for almost the entirety of his career, and he no longer has that advantage anymore, although he's still plenty long. He's nowhere near the longest. But at his best, he's one of the best iron players, whereas he used to be markedly better than everybody else with his iron game. So, victories are hard to come by when you get in your 40s. Your eyesight's not as good. Mm-hmm. Your body's not as good. Your touch isn't as good. So, it seems inevitable that he'll get past Snead, but it's nowhere near a sure thing.
It's not a slam dunk right there.
Not at all. Not at all. He needs two more victories to get past him. And you go back and look at the 10 winningest players of all time, And they only averaged, once they were 43 years of age, which is what Tiger is, they only averaged right at two wins the rest of their career. So,
yeah,
you know, it would be unlikely.
It'd be unlikely, but you never know. He might be able to do it. Let's talk about someone else.
It'd be great for golf.
And that Masters.
Like, it almost feels like he needs to go out on top as that guy.
He does. I mean, the question always is he the greatest player of all time? There's no question he's played the greatest golf of all time.
That's right.
By far better than his peers. You know, Jack had the better career because it was longer and he won more majors, and that's basically how we judge players. There's other metrics, of course, but that's pretty much it. But no question, Tiger was the more dominant athlete in the game.
Do you think Tiger, and this is just a, you know, when you talk about Jack, there was Jack Arnold. There was Jack Tom Watson. He had guys that pushed him, rivals that pushed him. Who really rivaled Tiger in the late 90s and early 2000s?
No, everybody else was way insignificant
back. Yeah.
In terms of a rival. He was that much. He won a major by 15. He won by 12.
12, yeah.
He won four in a row. He made 100. There was nobody else. You know, he psychologically emasculated his competition such that those that were closest to him withered in his presence. The only ones that really challenged him
Phil
were the
Mickelson.
Ones that psychologically didn't have any skin in the game.
Right.
They were expected to lose. So they, you know, Bob May in the 2000 PGA Championship.
Y.E. Yang.
Y.E. Yang. Exactly.
He chased him down.
He's the only players that sort of hung around with him because it was expected that they would sort of fumble and fail. But the Lions, the Mickelsons and the Ernie Els and the Vijay Singh, David DeVos, you know, these players were all going to be the best players. They were so good.
Yeah.
And Tiger was miles better than all of them.
Well, let's talk about someone else who had, you know, came on the scene with great potential as a young guy. And really the story and the narrative for his career now is he plays his best golf when the chips aren't down. I'm talking about Rory McIlroy. I mean, guy shoots a 62 when it doesn't matter and then chokes when he needs to play his best golf. So what can you describe, you know, is it a mental thing?
Because
the guy's talented.
It?
And can he fix it?
Well, it's been 19 majors since his last major win.
Mm-hmm.
And in each of those, well, he's averaged after the first round in each of those 19 majors being in about 60th place. So he's definitely struggling in the opening rounds of major championships, which is, again, it's too much ground for him to make up. So he's clearly not putting himself in the best place mentally to play his best golf in major championships, at least the early part of them. And then he plays beautifully after.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, he's shown that he's capable of playing almost Tiger-esque golf. Even this year, you know, he's leading the Vardon Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to win the Vardon Trophy this year.
Wow.
That will be the third time he's won. There are only two players that have won it.
Yep.
And that's Tiger and Greg Norman. You know, so, I mean, he's in elite company, and he's playing great golf. It's just inexplicably he gets majors, and he plays tight. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear what means the most to him. And you couldn't find a bigger contrast between him and Brooks.
That's right.
Who doesn't in any way look like he is bothered by every other event other than the majors, and then shows up and looks like that's exactly what he was made for.
I mean,
the contrast,
just saw it on display, the final round of the St. Jude Classic. I mean, Rory fades, and Brooks is as consistent as can be as he's been in the last, you know, four majors in the last 10. I know Tiger had a 6 out of 10, but with the field closing, as Jay had mentioned before, is Brooks's accomplishment more impressive? Where do we put this guy?
It's more enigmatic. Mm-hmm. You know, you could say that majors bring the best out in Brooks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they brought the best out in Tiger, and they brought the best out in Jack. But Tiger also dominated in regular season events. Jack also dominated in regular season events. So you could just look at the continuation and the run-up to majors and think it was going to keep going.
Right.
What Brooks did at Memphis is more an aberration, because typically he sort of fades in between majors and then shows up, and we haven't talked about him because he's not in any great form.
Right.
But, I mean, he'll never again fly under the radar. I mean,
never.
We've seen this act enough now where you know, look, he's better than I thought he was. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
You know, even though he had won three majors coming into this year, those majors, and look, I've lauded him far and wide from the first time I saw him, but I didn't think he was as good as he is because he had won on golf courses where it was easy driving golf courses, and they were long. So the only few, really the only handful of people that could really contend with him, and they played poorly in those majors for the most part.
So he benefited.
I didn't think he was this good until the first two rounds of the PGA at Bethpage Black.
Yep.
Playing with Tiger to be leading by seven, shoot 63 the first round, it showed me something I'd never seen. So it's great. I pull for it because we want big stars in the game of golf, and you wonder, where's the next big star? And here comes Brooks. So, and yeah, look, he's a good-looking guy. He's fit. He performs well under pressure. He elevates expectations, and he exceeds them. It's everything you could want in a star.
Except he says he doesn't practice and he doesn't really like the media. I mean, those are two things that we would rather.
Is he good well, for the game of golf? That's a serious question I pose to you.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Is he good for the game of golf? Because a good face for golf, you know?
Yeah, stars are always good. You know, I mean, he's a different cat. There's no question about it. When he says he doesn't practice, he does and he doesn't. I mean, he goes to the gym 6-7 days a week, and I promise you, in the gym, he's doing things that he thinks make him deserving of winning.
Yep.
He's doing things that where he thinks that when he gets on the first tee, nobody's stronger than him, nobody's better than him, nobody's worked harder than him. So it's a question of how you define practice. He's doing things, well, physically, you could say, but look, he swung faster when he was sinewy. When he first came on the tour and he didn't have all these muscles, he swung faster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that the gym's making him swing faster, but there's definitely a metamorphosis going on in the gym between his ears. Mm-hmm. He shows up and he looks around and he thinks, I'm King Kong. Nobody can beat me. I've put in the hours in the gym.
Right.
And he does just happen to have a very simple golf swing.
Yep.
If you're a geek, golf geek, you know the guys that sort of come over the top of it, it's an easy swing to repeat. In the golf world, there was a guy by the name of Bruce Litsky that everybody was envious of. Even the best players of all time were envious of him because he never had to practice. He could take 3 months off, show up, and win. And he had a very similar move to Brooks Koepka. Brooks is blessed with a very simple golf swing that's easy to repeat. And then clearly, he's got a great mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can focus. Hardest golf swing to repeat? Jim Furyk. Am I wrong in saying that?
You are. I hate to say it, but yeah, you are. I mean, Jim's had a hell of a career.
Amazing, but that swing
and
is
very,
crazy.
Very consistent. Jim has actually the most stable club face through impact of anybody on the PGA Tour. It's not a powerful swing, but he sure hits it straight.
What about Matthew?
There are far more inconsistent moves than that.
What about Matthew Wolf? Craziest golf swing on tour right now?
No question, and fun to watch.
Yeah, nuts.
It has all these elements of power. Obviously, he works with a guy not far from where you guys are, George Gankus up at Thousand Oaks. And George was smart enough not to really change that golf swing. He's introduced some sort of power elements into it, which are fun to watch. You can follow George on Instagram. It's a good follow because George is a great guy. He's a hoot. He's got all these kids that are swinging 125, 130 miles an hour. Matthew is the tip of the iceberg. They're coming. They're going to have guys on tour that are swinging 125, 130 miles an hour,
amazing.
And they're going to come and they're going to change golf and either force the governing bodies to roll back the golf ball or force architecture, golf course architecture, to combat what's going on in the sport with a renovation in the way they think about architecture.
And more hazards and just make it so that pinpoint precision might be the thing that can help you out. Last question I want to ask you, and we're talking to Brandel Chamblee. So nice to have you, Golf Channel analyst. He's in studio in Orlando this week for Golf Central. How do you face, and this might be a tough question here, David Duval, your colleague, after he lights up a 14? And do you
bring it up?
Embrace him? Do you embarrass him? I mean, he can always shoot back at you. I shot a 59 and then everyone shuts up. But how do you handle David Duval after he turned in his performance of 14 on one hole?
Well, there's a lot to be said about putting it on the line. You know, I laud anybody that'll go out and play knowing that they're not playing their best, just on the hopes that they would maybe catch lightning in a bottle. For sure, you don't have a chance of doing spectacular things if you don't enter the damn thing.
That's absolutely right.
He finished second in the 2009 U.S. Open, David did. You go back and look at the golf that David played in 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. He's got no business being in the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
And he finished second.
Amazing.
He almost won the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he won it from nowhere, absolutely nowhere. So you never know when you'll find something. And, you know, he earned the right to be there by winning the Open Championship. So it takes...
But there's a moment when you say we're 14 minutes to go, David. You need to get to set. And you can just mention the, just the number 14 a couple times. I love how you got his back, Brandel. I thought you'd be digging in.
David and I, you know, it's like you can't worry about what people think about
no,
you.
You can't.
Right?
You can't. Absolutely not. Well, Brandel Chamblee, thank you for joining us on the show. We wish you the best of luck. We will always watch you because you're honest, your takes are great, and you know your stuff.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Randy and Jason. Really appreciate it.
You got it.
There you go.
Randel Chamblee.
I love it. And
the finest of Chamblees.
The finest of Chamblees. Shall we do a sports update?
I think we should.
Let's do one. We're going to send it right now for a latest sports update with our buddy Rich Ackerman.
We got an ack attack.
You got all right, dudes. And dudettes, what a great week this has been. So fun to guest host this show twice. Thank you, Jim Rome, for letting us have the keys to the Lambo. This is just really the most fun we can have, and all the dudes who helped us out. Thanks for letting us have the keys to the motorcycle that Lenny Dykstra
imitated
the sound of.
Happy Sunday.
Okay. All right. Adam Hawk. Garrett, don't call me Jarrett Ritt, Alvin DeLauro, Tom DeCelestino. It's time to ask the pros. Can we do that?
Pros before bros.
It's time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you, the clones and sclones, get to submit a question at cbsportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Here's the question.
Brought to us by Chris in Corpus Christi. He puts the Christ, or she puts the Christ. I think it's a he puts the Christ in back in Corpus Christi. Randy, Jason, you guys travel all over the country doing comedy. Sounds like the best gig ever. It is good. What's your favorite city so far? And how much time do you get a chance to walk around and see the sights and eat the local grub? That's actually a great question. We just did a project last year for Audible.com. You can get it still at Audible.com.
Called Sklars and Stripes,
where we went around to 10 cities and we give ourselves a little challenge. When the plane lands on Thursday, let's say we're doing a weekend of shows, we say, how can we write 5 to 10 minutes of comedy about that city? The only way you do it
by Saturday night.
By Saturday night. The only way you do it is by getting out of your hotel room and experiencing what's there. One of our favorite cities to do comedy, and we're going back. We do it every year in the fall. We're going back to Comedy Works in Denver, Colorado. Last weekend in October, we'll be there, the 24th, 5th, 6th, whatever that is. So go get your tickets for that. They will sell out. But the thing about Denver is that's amazing is that there are places in Denver that are incredible that you have to go to, and everyone said you've got to go to Casa Bonita. I don't know if you saw South Park. There was a whole episode about it.
They would say, go to Casa Bonita. And then immediately they'd be like, don't eat there.
You got to go, but do not eat there.
We're like, it is a restaurant, right?
Do not eat there. We showed up at the restaurant. They're like, welcome to Casa Bonita. Please don't eat here.
Do not eat.
We're like, this is a restaurant. We should eat there. It is a Mexican restaurant where there is cliff diving inside of the restaurant.
Because you've always been sitting at a restaurant saying, like, I wish I could be smelling chlorine right now while I'm eating this guacamole.
Right?
Who hasn't
said that? More chlorine smell in this guacamole. You never say that.
No. Unreal. It was an unreal experience. Like if you told me they found two dead bodies under the bottom of that pool in there, I'd be like, yep.
Only two?
That's two for me.
And you know what? If you found them and you rose the dead and you said, why are you in here? They'd be like,
we ate the food.
Please do not eat here.
The dead bodies would just wake up for a second and be, please don't eat here.
That's how we died.
Cliff diving. Like even the cliff divers, as they're diving off the thing, they're like, don't eat here.
They make guacamole in a trash can.
Which they do. They stir it up in a trash can.
It's huge.
But it was amazing. And so places like that.
Make
it fun to be on the road because we can actually write.
Go to supersklars.com. You can see where we are. Hey, if you like what we did on this show today, You need to follow our and subscribe to our podcast, View from the Cheap Seats. It's what we do here.
The episode that dropped today is Jim Gaffigan, the great comedian Jim Gaffigan. He tells us a story.
He played football at Georgetown.
Played football.
People don't know that about him.
Played football for a year at Purdue.
Walked on at Purdue.
Walked on at Purdue and then played football at Georgetown. You know the football powerhouse that is Georgetown. But he played there, and he talks about wanting to quit and talking to the coach about wanting to quit. It is a great, great story. So we get into it deep with him there.
View from the Cheap Seats, our other podcast, is Dumb People Town. Follow us on Instagram. We are at Sklar Brothers, or on Twitter. We're, of course, at Sklar Brothers. We want to get to this day because we've been teasing it all day. This is insane. We'll stay in the golf world. Thorbjørn, I want to call him Bjorn because it's B-J-O-R-N.
Thorbjørn Olesen, the Soren Kjeldsen of Thomas Bjornsson's.
Of white golfers. A professional golfer ranked 62nd in the world. So this isn't a outside the top 100.
Yeah, he's in it. Was arrested after his flight back from Nashville to London.
That's a long flight to be this out of control that this guy was.
Olesen was in Tennessee to play the St. Jude Classic, which we talked about with Brandel Chamblee.
Did not do great, I'm assuming.
According to two reports, Olesen was extremely drunk on the plane and began verbally harassing other passengers.
Can you imagine that? You get harassed by some dude? You got your earbuds in?
Some guy in a golf polo?
Look, we've all...
Well, if it's some guy in a golf polo, you're like, well, I know it's not Ed Reed.
Look, we've all tied off a few. Is it tied on or tied off?
Tied on.
We've all had a few drinks on a plane. No one's going to fight you on that. That's fine. I don't think any of us has ever yelled at anyone on a plane.
That's normal behavior. You're now free to move about the cabin and harass people.
Look, we mind our own business. That's what we do. This guy's yelling at people. None of us.
Minding their own business.
I don't even want to talk. I don't want to talk to anyone. When you get on the plane, Randy and I, we always get a seat between us and we pray.
Pray to God that no one sits in between us so we can just have as little contact with his people. Because you're flying. You're not feeling well. You don't want to interact with you. You certainly don't want someone, a golfer, just
drunk.
Screaming, a Nordic golfer drunk and screaming in your face. Apparently, he was so out of control, Olesen, that
Ian Poulter had to calm him down.
Ian Poulter's eyes bugged out of his head. Well, that just normally happens.
That's what it is.
But Ian Poulter.
When Ian Poulter is calming you down, you are out of control, bro.
When Ian Poulter has to take, does Ian Poulter sleep in the visor?
He calmed him down and then he went back to sleeping. He took a nap.
He sleeps in the visor just so everyone can see the frosted tips. I get it.
If you just look at the top of Ian Poulter's head, I'm like, that's every one of my mom's friends.
Aunt Linda's haircut.
He got a mom do.
He got frosted tips.
And he's the one calming you down?
By the way, his blood runs hot. You see Poulter in the Ryder Cup, and he is the first guy just sticking it to everybody. That guy's calming you down?
Mm-mm.
He did manage to get him down, and then he goes for a nap.
And then Olsen goes back to his drunken tirade.
Craziness. It's just...
Apparently, he allegedly sexually harasses somebody.
What?
That goes crazy.
And you know who that person was? Lumpy Heron.
That would be amazing if it was him.
If he sexually harassed Lumpy Heron...
Then the guy, that's not enough. He's drunk.
Up cycle right there, right? he did it because according to...
That's the definition of a water hazard. He hit the hazard.
There is a bathroom. Have you ever been so drunk where you just can't...
Give him a Nike contract. Give him a commercial. Give him a Smirnoff ice commercial.
There you go. There you go. Give this guy an Ambien and let him go to sleep. Olesen. You never want to be on a flight. If you hear Olesen, you've been upgraded, get off the flight.
Get off the flight.
Get to a different flight because you don't know what's going to be. Or you better step in the aisle with your shoes on.
That's right. Don't take your shoes off on a flight that he's on. Hey, we're the Sklar Brothers. This has been a joy. We love you guys. We'll be back next time Rome leaves town.
Yeah, we definitely will. Definitely follow us on Twitter, at Sklar Brothers, on Instagram, at Sklar Brothers, and we'll let you know what's going on. Thank you to all everybody here who helped us out.
Punch waterfalls.
Kyle Brand on Monday. You guys are so lucky. He's the best in the biz. And thank you, Jim Rome. We love you. We love you, clones. We love you, sklones. And we're out. Have a great week.